taking a perfectly tuned Google Ads campaign and just, well, dropping it into Microsoft advertising.
Yeah.
It feels like it should be the easiest thing in the world.
Right, you'd think so.
Yeah, you're just moving it from one search engine to another. It's like translating a straightforward set of instructions.
Yeah.
But the reality, it's actually more like translating a complex, I don't know, 500-page novel into a
Yeah.
completely new language.
Oh, absolutely. And not just any language, but one where some of your most heavily used words simply don't exist.
Right.
And the grammar rules in this new language are entirely upside down. You might think you're telling the platform to just, optimize my bids, but the system's underlying semantic engine processes that syntax differently.
I hear something completely foreign.
Exactly. It hears something completely different from what you intended. You aren't just changing platforms, you are entering a fundamentally shifted environment.
Which is exactly why today's deep dive is custom built for you, the mid-level performance marketer. I mean, you already know your way around Google Ads.
You've got the battle scars to prove it.
Exactly. But now you're looking to level up your career, extend your platform fluency to Microsoft advertising, what we all used to call Bing Ads.
And you want to do it without accidentally draining your entire monthly budget on day one.
That's the dream. So, okay, let's unpack this. The mission today is mastering the practical art of importing and auditing those Google campaigns.
And to do that, we've pulled together a really specific stack of sources for you today. We are looking directly at your recent campaign performance notes, cross-referencing those with Microsoft's official May 2026 Import Center documentation. And we're layering in some of the latest industry demographic data too, because knowledge is really only valuable here if you understand the mechanics behind the interface.
Yeah, speaking of the interface, Microsoft did launch that new Unified Import Center in May 2026. And I have to say, it looks incredibly slick.
It really
The
does.
dashboard is centralized. You've got these inline error resolution steps right there in the UI. But honestly, it kind of lulls you into a false sense of security.
It definitely does.
You think, oh, great, I'll just click this big import button and go grab a coffee.
Which is the most dangerous assumption a media buyer can make. I mean, the mechanical part is easier, yes, but that actually means the strategic audit you perform afterward is more critical than ever.
Because it's too easy now.
Exactly. The platform won't stop you from making a terrible strategic mistake. It will only stop you from making a technical one.
Wow. Okay. So before we can even get to the audit, we have to actually get the campaign data into Microsoft safely.
Right.
Let's talk about the setup, the sync, and what I call the advanced trap. Because the very first thing the documentation asks for isn't a budget or a campaign name, it's an import credential ID.
Yes.
Now, I'm assuming this is essentially just handing over my Google password to Microsoft.
No,
Actually,
actually. And it's vital to understand the difference here. You should never just hand over a password. The import credential ID is an oath token.
okay, for the performance marketers out there who live in ad copy and spreadsheets, not, back-end development, what does an oath token actually do in this context?
Good question.
Let's say I'm at a concert. Is it like a VIP wristband?
Oh, that is a brilliant way to picture it. Yeah, if your password is your driver's license, the OAuth token is like a VIP wristband issued by Google that you give to Microsoft.
Oh, I see.
It securely binds your specific Microsoft advertising user profile to the specific Google account. Microsoft takes that wristband to the door of your Google account, and Google says, I recognize this wristband. You're allowed to read the campaign data.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, you literally just type import credential ID into the Microsoft search bar, authenticate with Google once, and generate this token.
But, wristbands can be cut. So what breaks this connection?
Yeah.
Because campaign management could be super messy. People leave agencies, passwords get updated all the time.
Sure.
If I change my Google password for security reasons, does my entire Microsoft sync just crash?
Surprisingly, no. And honestly, this saves a lot of headaches. Because the token is a separate entity from your password, changing your Google password does not break the sync at all. Yeah, the OAuth token remains perfectly valid. What will break it, though, is if you change the Microsoft user who generated the token, or if you go deep into your Google account security settings and explicitly revoke the Bing Ads import app permission.
Got it. So the scoping is very specific to the user, not the password itself.
Exactly.
Okay, good to know. So we have our VIP wristband. The accounts are talking to each other. Now we have to decide how often they talk.
Right, the scheduling.
The documentation outlines scheduling options ranging from a one-time import to daily, or even hourly syncs. And I'll be honest, if I'm actively managing a dynamic Google account, I'm tempted to say hourly just so everything is always perfectly matched.
I would strongly advise against hourly for a live account.
Really? Why?
The standard starting cadence we see recommended in the performance notes is actually weekly.
Weekly. But if I make a major change on Tuesday, I have to wait until Sunday for Microsoft to catch up.
Well, you can always manually push an import if you need to. But an automated hourly sync introduces version control chaos. Yeah, because every time you import, you run the risk of resetting learning phases on Microsoft's algorithmic bidding. You really want the weekly sync to pick up your broader structural changes, like new ad groups or overhauled keyword lists.
Oh, I see. Without the hourly churn that destabilizes the whole platform.
Precisely. Now, the documentation does highlight an auto option, too, where you basically delegate the cadence entirely to Microsoft.
Handing over the keys to the algorithm? That is always a slightly terrifying prospect.
It is an option, though. With Auto, Microsoft's system determines when to pull changes for optimal sync quality based on its own analysis of how often your source account updates.
Okay.
But again, for a mid-level marketer stepping into this for the first time, take control. Start with weekly.
Yep, fair enough. Let's move to the actual import screen then, because this is where I see the biggest trap.
Oh, the advanced trap.
Yes. You've got your schedule set, and there's this massive, inviting, brightly colored Start Import button. But tucked away right next to it is a much less exciting text link for advanced import options. If I'm in a rush and I just hit the default Start Import button, what actually happens?
Hitting that default button without looking at the advanced options is the single most common cause of day one overspend we see in the data.
I look at it like letting a real estate agent buy you a house sight unseen, instantly moving all your furniture into it, and leaving the front door wide open.
That is painfully accurate.
Talk to me about the big three flags in those advanced options.
Yeah.
Because clearly the defaults are not our friends here.
They absolutely are not. These are technically called Google import option flags in the backend API. The first, and frankly the most dangerous one, is pause new campaigns.
Okay.
The system default setting for this is false.
Wait, false?
Yeah.
Let me process that. If I don't actively go into a hidden menu and change this to the Anation, yes, every single Google campaign I pull over just goes live immediately upon import.
That is the mechanism, yes. They launch as active the second the API finishes processing.
That is completely insane from a budget management perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just start spending my money before I can even review the tracking parameters.
Yep.
Why would Microsoft make that the default?
From a platform perspective, they want to reduce friction to spend. They assume if it's active in Google, you want it active in Microsoft.
Sure, but as a media buyer, that's reckless.
Totally reckless. For any first-time import, you must force pause new campaigns to yes. It is a non-negotiable if you want to audit the campaigns safely.
Okay, message received loud and clear. Force it to yes. What's the second flag?
The second flag is delete or move entities, and this one also defaults to false.
Okay, what does that one do?
The mechanism here is about historical cleanup. If you leave this flag as false, anything you delete in Google Ads, let's say a poorly performing keyword that was bleeding money.
Right.
Or an ad with outdated seasonal copy, it stays completely active in Microsoft advertising.
Wait, so unless I flip this flag, my Microsoft account just becomes this chaotic graveyard of all my past Google mistakes. I'd be paying for keywords in Bing that I realized were garbage in Google 3 months ago.
You'd essentially be decoupling the structural integrity of the two accounts. It breaks the parity. You have to change delete or remove entities to yes, so that when you prune the dead weight in Google, the Microsoft import prunes it as well.
Got it. Okay, and the third major flag.
Raise bids to minimum. Now, this one actually defaults to true, and it's the rare case where you want to leave the default alone.
Oh, really? Why is that?
You need to understand the underlying auction physics here. Microsoft has a hard minimum CPC floor of 5 cents. Google's minimum is 1 cent.
I see where this is going.
Yeah. If you don't raise your bids to the minimum during the import, the API simply rejects any keywords coming over with bids below 5 cents. They fail to import entirely and throw an error in your log.
Okay, so we've navigated the advanced options. We've set the pausing to yes, the deletions to yes, and kept the minimum bid raise at true. The API runs, the campaigns are imported, and crucially, they are sitting there safely paused. We open the May 2026 import center, we look at the logs, we see the tallies for added, updated, skipped, and errors.
Mm-hmm.
We go through, we fix the explicit red errors the system flags for us. We're good to go, right? The plumbing is clean.
I would not pop the champagne just yet.
No.
No, this is where the most sophisticated marketers get caught. We have to talk about the silent saboteurs.
The silent saboteurs. That sounds ominous, meaning the things that fundamentally break the campaign strategy without triggering an error in the import log.
Exactly that. The import center only flags technical API failures, things that violate the physical rules of the database.
Okay.
It does not flag strategic failures. And what's fascinating here is the most devastating strategic failure is the silent bid strategy downgrade.
How does a downgrade happen silently? Walk me through the mechanics of that.
It basically comes down to philosophical differences in how the platforms build their machine learning algorithms. Let's say your Google campaign is running on a highly sophisticated smart bidding strategy, maybe a very specific algorithmic variant of target ROAS or maximized conversion value.
Sure.
When the Microsoft API looks at that, if it doesn't possess a strict 1-1 equivalent for that precise mathematical variant at the time of import, it does not throw an error.
It just ignores it.
No, it simply decides, I don't recognize this advanced math, so I will default to the lowest common denominator. And it silently converts your multi-million dollar campaign strategy to enhanced CPC or eCPC.
I'm sorry, what? A multi-million dollar system just defaults a complex ROAS strategy down to eCPC without a giant red warning banner?
Without a single warning. It just does it.
That is terrifying.
It really is.
For the listener, eCPC is ancient history in the performance world. Enhanced CPC does not optimize toward a conversion target or a return on ad spend at all.
Yep.
It just takes your manual bid and slightly adjusts it up or down based on a rudimentary likelihood of a click.
Yeah.
You are instantly losing the entire performance engine of the campaign.
You've summarized the danger perfectly. You are flying completely blind. This is why the post-import audit is mandatory.
Yeah, I'd say so.
You have to manually go into the Microsoft UI, filter your imported campaigns by bid strategy, isolate the ones sitting on eCPC, and manually assign them to the appropriate Microsoft smart bidding equivalent, like their version of target CPA or target ROAS.
Wow. I am adding that to the top of my audit checklist immediately. What else is secretly changing behind the scenes while the error log tells me everything is fine?
The other massive one is negative keyword scope creep.
Scope creep.
Yeah, this goes back to the semantic engines we mentioned earlier. Google's engine is incredibly loose. They allow for broad match negative keywords.
Right. A broad match negative acts as a sweeping pattern blocker for any query containing the negative term as a substring, regardless of word order.
Exactly.
So if I use a broad match negative for cheap software, it blocks cheap accounting software, software that is cheap, all of it.
Yes. But Microsoft Advertising's semantic matching engine processes syntax fundamentally differently. It cannot natively recreate a broad match negative.
So what does it do during the import?
It looks at your broad match negative, realizes it can't process it, and silently converts it to a phrase match negative.
Oh, wow. Okay, I need an analogy for this.
Go for it.
That's like thinking you put a giant heavy-duty tarp over your entire garden to block the rain.
Okay.
But overnight, the system secretly swapped your giant tarp for a standard umbrella. Suddenly, all these queries you thought were blocked, just because the word order changed slightly or a user inserted a random word in the middle, they are bypassing the umbrella and triggering your ads.
The tarp versus the umbrella, that is spot on. The exclusion scope narrows significantly. The mechanism changes from a pattern block to a strict syntax block.
So I have to go into my negative keyword lists post-import, review every single one, and likely build out massive lists of additional phrase match variations just to get back to the blocking scope I originally had in Google.
Yep, it is tedious, but if you don't do it, your ad spend will bleed out on irrelevant search terms you thought you had already excluded.
All right, what about the actual ad assets themselves? Do all of our extensions make the jump over the API?
Well, the standard text-based ones do. Site links, callouts, structured snippets, those carry over seamlessly.
Good.
But the documentation is clear here. Image extensions and lead form extensions do not import at all. They rely on completely different hosting architectures.
So if your Google campaigns heavily rely on rich media or inline forms to drive your click-through rate, your Microsoft ads are going to look incredibly bare and uncompetitive post-import.
Very much so. You have to upload and build those natively in Microsoft.
Got it. And speaking of native requirements, a quick public service announcement for everyone listening out there. Swap your tracking templates.
Yes, absolutely.
Google's ecosystem uses the eClid parameter to pass tracking data back to your analytics. Microsoft uses VimpigKid. If you just copy-paste your tracking URLs, your analytics platform is going to have a very hard time attributing those Microsoft conversions properly. You'll have traffic, but no idea where it came from.
It's a crucial administrative step that gets missed way too often.
Okay, let's take a breath.
Phew.
We've fixed the structural plumbing. The bidding algorithms are mapped correctly. Our negative keywords are actually blocking the bad traffic. Our tracking parameters are updated.
Sounds good so far.
Now, we have to look at who is actually clicking on these perfectly constructed ads. Because the sources we're looking at show that the audience behavior on Bing is entirely upside down compared to Google.
It's not just a slight shift either. It is a profound demographic and device divide. We really have to look at the hard numbers from the industry data.
Hit me with the numbers.
When you build a Google Ads campaign today, you are fundamentally building for a mobile-first world. Google's global mobile search share is astronomical, sitting right around 93%.
93%. So basically, society at large.
Yes. Therefore, your Google campaigns naturally evolve bid modifiers and ad copy structures that heavily favor mobile traffic.
Makes sense.
But Microsoft is a completely different universe. The global mobile share on Bing is a tiny 0.8%.
Like 0.8%.
Yes.
That is practically zero. Why is it that low?
Because Microsoft does not own the mobile hardware ecosystem the way Google owns Android or, you know, pays to be the default on Apple iOS.
Right.
But look at the desktop share. Bing's desktop share globally is nearly 12%. And if we look at the U.S. specifically, Bing's desktop share is about 17.58%. Combine Microsoft and Yahoo, and you're looking at almost 19% of the U.S. desktop search market.
Almost 20% of the U.S. desktop market. Yeah. I guess why that is. Corporate enterprise networks.
You nail it. Bing is deeply embedded as the default search engine in Microsoft Edge, which is the default browser on Windows machines, which absolutely dominate corporate IT networks across the globe.
So we're taking a Google strategy perfectly evolved for someone scrolling on a mobile phone while waiting for the bus, and we were dropping it onto a B2B office desktop computer.
That is the reality. And the bidding danger here is severe.
How so?
If you import Google's mobile uplifted bids without manually changing them, you are drastically overpaying for Bing's absolute weakest device channel. You are throwing money at a 0.8% demographic.
Wow, we're basically paying premium real estate prices for a ghost town. So how do we fix it?
Post-import calibration is mandatory. Right out of the gate, you need to go into your device targeting and reduce your mobile bid modifiers by -30% to -50%. You just have to slash them.
Hold on. I have to push back on that a bit.
Sure.
Any media buyer listening is going to get hives hearing, cut your bids by 50% on day one. Without even testing. Isn't that flying blind?
Right.
Shouldn't we let the data tell us what mobile performs like on Bing before we neuter the traffic?
I know it feels aggressive. I understand that reaction. But the 0.8% volume dictates the strategy. If you don't slash the baseline, the sparse clicks you do get on mobile will be wildly expensive because you carried over Google's aggressive mobile premiums. You are basically buying yourself a safety net while the platform learns.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Protect the budget first, optimize second. What about desktop then? Do we just leave it at zero?
You can hold desktop at a 0% modifier as a baseline. Or, because this is where Bing's audience actually lives and breathes, you can test a positive 10% to 15% uplift to lean aggressively into that corporate desktop skew.
Now, I know Microsoft has an auto device bid optimization feature hidden in the settings. Should we just turn that on and let the AI figure out the desktop versus mobile split?
Definitely not on day one.
No.
Remember the mechanics of auto optimization. It needs historical data to understand what a conversion looks like in this specific platform's ecosystem. Do not turn that on until your account has accumulated at least 30 days of conversion data natively on Microsoft.
Got it.
Until then, you are the algorithm. Manage those device modifiers manually based on that desktop-heavy reality.
Okay, so we've audited the silent algorithmic errors, we've boldly slashed our mobile bids, and our campaigns are running beautifully.
Everything is great.
A few weeks go by.
Yeah.
You are managing a $50,000 a month spend. You decide a specific campaign just isn't quite hitting its ROAS targets. So you go into the Microsoft advertising UI, you click the little green dot, and you pause the campaign to stop the bleeding. Job done. You go to sleep.
Yeah.
But the next day, you log in, and it's running again. It spent another $500 overnight.
Why?
The infamous campaign reactivation trap.
What?
It was a heavily documented bug that dominated the Q&A forums throughout 2025 and 2026. And it all comes back to a concept in the API architecture called sync authority.
It is a literal zombie campaign. You kill it in Microsoft, but it just keeps rising from the dead every Sunday at midnight to eat your budget. How is the architecture allowing this to happen?
It happens because you still have that recurring import scheduled, the standard weekly sync we set up at the very beginning.
The API architecture operates on a one-way street during the sync window. When you pause a campaign directly in the Microsoft UI, you are only changing the local state.
Yeah.
But the next time that weekly automated import runs, it looks at Google as the absolute single source of truth.
So the import script queries Google, sees the campaign is still active over there, and completely ignores my manual pause in Microsoft.
It doesn't just ignore it, it overwrites it. The API says, Microsoft is out of sync with the master file, and it reactivates the campaign, completely overriding the manual pause you implemented the day before.
That is maddening for a media buyer.
Yeah.
You think you've controlled the spend, but the sync job has ultimate authority.
Yeah.
It does not care about your local Microsoft optimizations at all.
Nope.
How do we kill the zombie for good?
The solution requires changing your workflow. If you want a campaign paused across the board, you must pause it in Google Ads itself. The next sync will naturally carry that pause over to Microsoft.
Okay, simple enough. But what if I just want it off in Bing?
Right, if your strategy dictates that it should be running in Google, but paused in Microsoft, maybe it performs well on mobile but terrible on desktop. You actually have to go into the import center and modify the scheduled import job settings.
So it actively ignores that specific campaign going forward.
Exactly. You have to explicitly tell the API to stop syncing it. Otherwise, the zombie will keep coming back.
That is exactly the kind of operational knowledge that separates a junior buyer from a senior one.
It really is.
So what does this all mean for you, the performance marketer? Let's recap the aha moments we've pulled from the sources today. Number one, never, ever trust the default import button. Always use the advanced options. And force pause new campaigns to do it. Yes.
Critical.
Number two, you have to manually hunt down the silent saboteurs, dig into the interface to find smart bidding strategies that were downgraded to ECPC, and fix your broad match negatives that shrunk into syntax-based phrase match.
Don't forget the tarp and the umbrella.
Right, the tarp and the umbrella. Number three, respect the Edge browser dominance. Slash your mobile bid modifiers by 30 to 50% immediately, because Bing is a B2B, desktop first world.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, beware the zombie sync trap. The Google API is the ultimate authority. If you pause something locally in Microsoft, make sure your recurring import isn't programmed to just overwrite it tomorrow.
It really all comes down to understanding that while the user interfaces of these platforms look similar, the underlying physics of the auction, the syntax engines, and the technical architecture are profoundly different.
Which brings us to the final piece of the puzzle. We spent this entire deep dive talking about structural plumbing, semantic matching, and algorithmic bid modifiers. But at the end of the day, all of this technology is just a delivery mechanism to put a message in front of a human being sitting at a computer.
And if we look at the demographic data in our sources, that human being is incredibly distinct. We already established they are sitting at a desktop, very likely at a corporate office. But beyond the hardware, the data shows that the Bing audience has a 63.66% male user share. Nearly 50% of the users are sitting in the top income quartile, and almost 48% are between the ages of 25 and 44.
That is a very specific profile.
It is. We've just spent all this time adapting the mechanics and the bids for this older, wealthier, desktop-heavy demographic. But this raises an essential question for you to take away today. If the person clicking the ad is fundamentally different than your average Google mobile user, shouldn't your imported ad copy be the next thing you completely rewrite?